So I've learned how to take a leech off. So thankfully, I think this is probably the most glamorous baptisms we've ever had as a church. So those that have been baptized in our church previously, you've had cold water, leaking water, dirty rivers, water from fire engines, for those that remember that one, had to come and fill up the tank for us, because we got there at 5 o'clock in the morning, and it was still 3 inches deep at 9:30, which for anyone who's going to see the baptisms now, that's not deep enough. So the fire brigade came down and filled it up for us. We had rug doctors last year trying to clear up the water that leaked out, because somebody left the plug undone at the bottom of the pool. So this, so far, so good, is the most uneventful baptisms we've ever had. So it's going to be good fun. But I just wanted to take just a few minutes to speak about, there's a guy who wrote some of the New Testament called Paul, and he writes to some Christians that are following Jesus in Rome, and he says, he speaks about baptism, and so I'm just going to read a few verses to you, and I'm just going to unpack them, and then we're going to get on baptizing the four people this morning. Paul says this, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized," now he says all of us, so Paul isn't, he's saying inclusive language, he's saying it's all of us. There's something about the church that this brings us together, this baptism brings us together. I don't know about you, but you may go to church for years, it may be a new thing for you, but churches are quite known for disagreeing. Like this church here says this, this church down the road says that, and they don't connect with each other, and it's really sad. But Paul is saying there's something that actually brings us all together, and it's baptism. All of us have been baptized. Why does it bring us together? Because baptism is all about Jesus. And at the heart of the church, no matter what we believe here, there, at the center is Jesus. And that's what following him is all about. He is at the center of everything. And says, "Do not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death." I mean, that sounds a bit morbid, doesn't it? But actually, that's a celebration. And what we're doing this morning is we're celebrating. We're celebrating baptism, because actually what happens in that moment of Jesus' death is that he who knew no sin, he did not sin. He was without sin, yet he went to the cross. And he died the death that a sinner should have died. And in that moment, all of the sin of humanity, all the error, all of the wrong was put onto him. And he died. He was not unconscious. He was not faint. He didn't faint. He died. And they knew that, so they buried him. So we were baptized into his death. He died, but he didn't stay there. They put him in a tomb, and then 3 days later, he rises again. So all of the sin that was put on him in that moment, the stuff that keeps us from God that you heard in the testimonies, things that stop us from living a full life that he made us to live, was put onto him. And he died with it. So we're baptized into his death. So as we go down into the water, there's this picture of going down into the death of Jesus. Paul goes on, he says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead," so he doesn't stop with death, there's another verse afterwards, "he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And that is what we're celebrating this morning. That is why we're celebrating, that we go down into the water. And as we do, there's this picture of going down into the death of Jesus. But we're not going to leave you down there. If we do, then you're going to be meeting him a lot quicker than we've got planned. So we will lift you back up again. And as we lift you back up again, the picture is newness of life. And that's why we're going to holler and cheer as they come up out of the water. Because those of us that follow Jesus, we know the reality of the newness of life that is on offer for us. It's as Jonathan said, it's not a life free of trouble. We live in a world that is fallen, that is still marred by sin. But we get an offer of a newness of life. We get to walk in a way that is fresh and new, and we get to live in freedom. So as we rise out of the water, there's this glorious promise in that moment that we can know newness of life right now. Not waiting for us to make sure we're a good boy or a good little girl, but actually right now, in this moment, we get that promise of newness of life. But we have to walk in that newness of life. I'm just going to speak to those that follow Jesus in the room and those that are getting baptized this morning. We have to choose to walk in that newness of life. Paul says that you would walk in newness of life. We get to choose how we walk. We can choose to walk in an old life, or we choose to walk in the newness of life. There is choice, because God is love. And when God is love, there has to be choice. Because if there is no choice, do you know what love without choice is called? Abuse. And God does not abuse. And so he gives us the choice to step into newness of life and walk in newness of life. And what is that newness of life? increasingly our life starts to look differently. We think differently. We love differently. We act differently. We talk differently. Everything in our life starts to be transformed by him. You get given new life. You are a new creation. It's like Jonathan said, that there's a new chapter. There's a fresh start. And we get to step into all that he has for us. Does it come all at once? The minute these guys are baptized, are they never going to sin again? No, I was baptized when I was 17. And I can say that between now and 17, and I'm now, you're not going to believe this, but I am 40 years old. Thank you. Thank you. The authenticity and the shock there was underwhelming. But I have sinned since I was 17. I have not got everything right. More than you can possibly imagine. So it doesn't suddenly all come at once. And it didn't for those early followers of Jesus. Actually, at the beginning of Matthew, one of the Gospels, these stories that talk about Jesus and his followers and what he did when he was on earth, he calls the disciples and he says, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. So we see that this newness of life is about an invitation from Jesus to follow him. Which means we say, this is how I would have done life, but this is how you invite me to do life. I'm going to walk in that way, but I know I'm going to get it wrong. The disciples, if you go and read the Gospels, they got it wrong continually. So it's not about a need for perfection, but it's about following him and submitting to him and yielding to him, opening our life to be transformed by him and actually committing to the mission of him. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. See, those being baptized this morning, it's not just a little tick box. It's not just something that says, now I get a free entry into heaven. It's a giving of our whole life to the one who gave his whole life. And baptism is about being a follower of Jesus. The Bible talks about being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And if you're a follower of Jesus in the room, then you are called to be a disciple. And that call to follow Jesus means that we actually commit to go and make other disciples. So I've spoken to those getting baptized. Let me speak to those of you in the room that are already following Jesus. The call is not just you and me, me and Jesus sorted, we're happy, let's crack on. The invitation is go and fish for people. In fact, in Matthew 28, at the end of that gospel, Jesus says to his disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, saying to the disciples, go and make disciples. So this is a journey towards saying, do you know what, I'm going to walk in Christ-likeness, I'm going to walk after him, but I'm going to invite others to walk alongside me, and we're going to walk together, and we're going to do this together. That's why baptism is the thing that unites us as the church, because it says we're followers of Jesus, and we're going to do that together, and we're going to seek to follow him. It's not a Sunday thing, it's an eternity thing, and it's not just about me and Jesus, it's about others, walking with others, helping others to grow. So those that are being baptized today are saying, all that Jesus has done for me means I give my all to him. And that's what this is about. Getting to live as God created us to live, a life of freedom, in joy, despite what may come against us. We know that he is for us. We know that he is with us. And then Paul ends these verses. He says, for if we have been united with him in his death, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that death is not the end. We know that there is life beyond, and Jesus leads the way for us, and we go in him knowing that he is with us and for us. And so we get to celebrate this morning. I want to end with this. Jesus himself was baptized. Which might sound a little bit strange, because it's like, well, you've just said, John, that Jesus didn't sin, and we're saying that this is about going down and all of our sin being dealt with and then coming up to newness of life. So why did Jesus himself get baptized? Let me just read it to you. Matthew 3:13, it says, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan. This is John the baptizer, so John the Baptist, to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop him. Think John had the same thought that I have when I think about Jesus being baptized. You should not be the one being baptized. I'm the one that's meant to be baptized. John tried to stop him saying, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me. Jesus answered him, allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness. John the Baptist was completely shocked that Jesus wanted to be baptized. He didn't have sin. He didn't need that. But Jesus got baptized not because he needed to die to sin. Jesus got baptized to fulfill all righteousness. That's what it tells us. That's why he was baptized. Jesus' reply tells us something fundamental about the story of who God is and what's going to unfold. That he is coming to fulfill God's plan, the promises which God made ages ago and has never forgotten, promises that will blow God's spirit through the world, which will bring God's judgment on evil. Evil does not have the last say. The stuff that has happened to you, the stuff that happens in the world, that is not more powerful than the power of God. He will make it right. And that is why Jesus does it. Not to be someone that says, I need to die to sin, but he does it so he can humbly allow us to identify with him. He is not so far above and beyond that we cannot relate to him. He does something that allows us to identify with him in being baptized by taking our place, sharing our distress, living life, and ultimately dying our death. So in this picture of baptism, is this picture of going down and dying to our old life, a newness of life. And we know that Jesus is with us because he did that. And we can identify with him. So every step of the way is the promise that he is with us. And this is where I want to end. It says in verse 16, immediately Jesus went up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him. He saw the Spirit descending like a dove, coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. This is my prayer for those of us that follow Jesus. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, I don't understand all of this. Maybe today is somewhere, a day you want to sit and chat with somebody. There are so many people in this room that would love to sit and chat with you about Jesus and who he is. Maybe you can go away and explore a little bit for yourself, or maybe just kind of put it on the back burner and say, do you know what, I know that's important, and at some point maybe I'll give some time to this. Jesus is with you, and he journeys with you, and he accepts where you are. But for those that follow Jesus this morning, and those specifically getting baptized, this has been my prayer for you, that you would know those three elements over your life that Jesus encountered at his baptism. You would know the heavens are open for you. And by that I mean God is not shut up behind a locked door. He is open. He is available. He desires to be with you. The space that he dwells in is not so far away that you cannot know him or connect with him. The kingdom of God is near, the Bible tells us. And it's near for you, and it's near for those to experience him. And it breaks into our life in surprising moments and in surprising ways. And my prayer is that your eyes would be opened to the heavens that are open over you. It says the heavens were open and the Spirit rested. The Spirit is the comforter, that reminder of his continual presence. And so I pray that you would know the Spirit of God over you. That Jesus has left us, but he's left us with the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead now lives in you, and that you would know that on a daily basis, that it would change how you live, that you would make yourself available to the Spirit that says, I'm going to walk, and I'm going to walk into newness of life, but there's some stuff that I am not going to be able to deal with, and I need you, Spirit, to come and work in and through me, that you would know the Spirit of God is over you and his presence is for you. And finally this, that you would hear the voice of the Father speaking over you, this is my beloved Son, this is my beloved daughter, in you I am well pleased. That you would know the pleasure of the Father over your life for every day that you have breath in your lungs, because he is pleased with you. He's pleased with you. And he lavishes his love upon you, and he calls you his child. And so my prayer is that you would know the heavens are open, that you would know the Spirit is upon you, and you would hear the voice of the Father speaking over you, I am well pleased.